Good morning. Today is Wednesday, March the 8th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor Estelle Fennell. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. How are you today?
I'm having too much fun. Actually, I got to say, it's the 7th. I'm thinking about the 8th because that was one of the things we wanted to talk about.
Oh, yeah, we do want to talk about tomorrow.
I find it strangely disturbing. I think last time we were together, it was either during the show or after the show, I said the Traveling Road Show.
Yeah.
And now that's, I guess, the official title
of this is the Traveling Road Show.
Oh, okay. Be careful of what you think you can and don't have influence on. How is that working? I know you guys.
I think the idea is still a very good one, and it seems to be working well this year. Again, we'll have it tomorrow in Benbow. The whole idea is to have all of the agencies. In this particular case, we'll have a representative from the sheriff's department of Health and Human Services, planning director. Who else? Public Works. Pretty much everybody that the public deals with will be there. Oh, probation, those guys.
How many of you electeds can be there?
Well, we can all be there, but we don't generally have all of us. Maybe at the Eureka one, because it's a listening session. We're not taking any action.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Brown Act doesn't come into effect.
No, so long as we don't take some action in the corridor afterwards or something like that. But generally speaking, for instance, in Benbow tomorrow, I'll be there just because.
Yeah, I figure you wouldn't miss that opportunity. Yeah, yeah. You'd give me that.
I think Rex might be there too, although.
Yeah, I think that's what he had indicated last week. He was going to be there. I would think it seems like it makes sense, but you still want it to be viable use of their time.
Yeah, right.
And of citizens' time, too, to show up.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, last year I found it very, very interesting and helpful. And I think the people who attended did, too, because not only do they get a chance to kind of mix and mingle for a half an hour if they show up at 5:30, but when the actual meeting starts from 6 to 8, you get a chance to interact with the various the agency directors. And that's much better than just listening and to a lecture, or a PowerPoint.
Is this a formal meeting or is it more like a, not a BS session, but more informal where there's back and forth and just regular guy talks?
Right. And what happens is, it's that idea of breakout sessions where people sit at a table. The DA will have one table, the sheriff will have another, et cetera, and people will sit with them and talk with them about where they think the budget money should go or what their issues are that need to be addressed. So, I'm sure there'll be some discussion about Measure Z. There'll probably be discussion about the excise tax, and just the budget in general and what the needs are. And when you're in Southern Humboldt, a lot of time you're going to hear about roads, abandoned cars, those kind of things. And
so general broad-based stuff rather than the pothole in front of my house at the corner of
big time. I mean, and this will, in fact, inform our decision-making at the budget level when we get, into May and we're finally putting the budget together. We'll really have a better idea. Like last year, when Measure S had first started, one of the big, the big sections of input that we got recommended that that tax money go back to source. In other words, if a certain area generates a lot of that money, then there should be, we should be looking to not just ignore it when it comes time for spending the dollars. So return to source.
That's got to be kind of an interesting challenge.
It is an interesting challenge because Measure S, by the voters, 66% of the voters, Measure S is a general tax.
And so countywide across the board, not specific to, because I would think if it was specific to a geographic area.
Mm-hmm.
Not a district, but an area, Eureka is going to get the preponderance. But that isn't really what this was designed to do.
No. And I think that, you'll hear from the county administrative officer as well, or the office, talking about their ideas for what the budget should look like and, you know, what we need to be looking out for. There's a lot of challenges coming up, especially we've talked over and over about ADA compliance with the consent decree. We've got to spend that money.
But that's kind of already set off the table, right?
Yeah, I mean, we really need to deal with that, and there's just no two ways about it. We also have to take into consideration the fact that coming up shortly will be a vote on Measure Z. So, you know, has that been successful? I would argue absolutely. I mean, it's really improved the law enforcement coverage tremendously in the outlying areas.
You know my general perspective about taxes.
Yeah, yeah.
However, when Del Norte County is having to lay off, and Humboldt County is trying to hire up.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's all on a per capita, and we both have got the same challenges with some of the goofiness that's in the areas. It would be really challenging, really scary to imagine what Humboldt County would be like without that additional law enforcement that the Sheriff's Department has, with all of the things that we're still experiencing.
Yeah.
You know, even the fatal this past weekend on 36. Doesn't matter. I mean, it still is a challenge that's out there, and
it
unfortunately,
is,
with the state not honoring its responsibilities, it really does fall back to the local jurisdictions.
Absolutely,
there's not a lot you can do about it.
Yeah, and what is very clear in that measure is that it is local money that stays local; it doesn't go anywhere else. And when I've reminded people what it looked like prior to Measure Z, it was pretty bad. I mean, it was really bad. If you were in the
southern, it was worser.
It was definitely worser. Definitely worser.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, the concept of Measure Z, I would think that if it wasn't serving people's wishes and their desires, or majority of people, that you'd be hearing about it loud and clear. Are you hearing about it loud and clear?
No. I think what I hear most often is, without it, I don't know what we would do. We're really appreciative that we have that coverage, both from the Sheriff's Department and firefighters. It's really upped our game in terms of being ready to respond to emergencies. If you look at the number of disasters and emergencies and the craziest things that we've been dealing with, it is pretty impressive that a county of our size with our size budget can actually handle it that well. And I've really been appreciative of the sheriff. I know both in the northern and the eastern and southern parts of the county upping the game and having enforcement there. And then appreciative of CHP working with the sheriff. You know, I mean, it's just amazing to see the teamwork that goes on between all of the emergency responders.
And really almost has to happen.
Oh, it's really, it does. And I... You know, I have to say, give out great thanks also to District Attorney Maggie Fleming. She's been doing a yeoman's job of dealing with all of the pressures that come with what's been going on. So, you know, as we move forward and we try to change the laws back a little bit at the state level so that not everybody and their brother gets to spend a couple of hours in jail and back out on the streets, we still have to deal with that reality. We still have to deal with that.
There was a question to Measure Z in public safety about wrestling with the fact that, let's say, if there's an arrest made in, let's say Myers Flat. Individual gets transported up to the jail,
mm-hmm.
processed, and then released. But he's not released back to Myers Flat. Are we getting to the point now with Measure Z, if it gets renewed, to be able to get a little bit more narrow in the focus because some of the broader things have been addressed?
It's interesting because there, you know, everybody sees it as a pot of gold, you know. But the bottom line is we've actually made personnel decisions along the way. And every time you commit Measure Z to personnel, that is committed. It's done. It's out, you know, it's not available anymore. So broadening or narrowing the focus will be really, I think, a function of what Measure Z actually presents. Are we going to see a drop in sales tax or not? We have to know that, you know, it's not a given that the sales returns are going to be the same every year.
Sure, so this is one of those in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, yeah.
What happened last year, we spend it this year.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. As far as getting people back to source, going back to that language again, just remember that absolutely horrible murder that happened several years ago, and there was a lot of
Father
pushback.
Eric. Yeah.
A lot of pushback, including from me, on the idea that somebody would just be left out on Fifth Street in the middle of the night, somebody essentially very disturbed, not have anywhere to go and be roaming around. So the sheriff has changed that protocol quite a bit, and I think it's paid off, because remember, leading up to Father Eric's murder, there'd been another murder on the Arcata safety corridor of an inmate, actually, who'd been left out. And it was just generally, you know, when you look back, you realize just how bad it was. We think it's bad now, but it was a lot worse.
Or how vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah. The situation of some of those wandering the streets that are, very obviously, you're dealing with mental health. Does that fall under public safety? It does, certainly under public uncomfortableness, but is it safety?
It's that has been an argument made by some people who want a slice of Measure Z, and that said, but there are other people who have talked about the excise tax, and mental health. And so that might be one other avenue to look at for those kind of services. You know, we've even heard it all the way up the chain at the national level from the president talking about the fact that mental health is an issue. I hope that we really take it seriously on a national level, because it's got to be taken seriously. When we were talking about homelessness as a crisis, we have a drug crisis and we have a mental health crisis. And then
an economic.
Yeah, and an economic. Yeah. So we've got a lot of things on our plate, but I think there are answers to the mental health crisis that could be dealt with if there was more of a will at the top.
Or a willingness to risk, perhaps, at the county, lawsuit or five,
doing
something. And I suppose that's part of that risk-benefit analysis that, you know, is done in the CAO's office. But you look at that and wonder, okay, so if we did do something that was more of a containment working with, and perhaps there was something like a dormitory that was not optional, but the community benefit, the individuals benefited from, kind of like the old public guardian concept, but a little bit more rigid in its approach. If that could be something Humboldt would be out in front of, just as you are with some of the marijuana laws, rather than waiting for something else.
Well, I've been a proponent of Laura's Law, which is up to the local jurisdiction. There is no funding. The state passed that law. but they did not pass the funding component, which leaves it up then to the local jurisdictions to decide whether or not they will take it on. We've actually talked with the Department of Health and Human Services about that, and what that allows for is that somebody who's who's been incarcerated, who's gone through several avenues of the, I don't know, you know, law enforcement, etc., mental health, and is basically a danger to themselves and others, can be held against their will. Because right now, somebody who is mentally ill can still choose to not go into treatment because they're viewed as an independent person.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, and by American Ag Credit. Some of the challenges, I would think, Estelle, with either the roadshow or with mental health and some of the different things are budget.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's pretty straightforward. But now when you talk about some of the areas where we do have things of value, we've got trees, we got gravel, we got fish, but we primarily have got water.
Mm-hmm.
What is the status with Potter Valley and the Eel Russian River and water, whether diversion continues and perhaps Humboldt County gets some compensation that hasn't happened in the past, or it gets blown up or decommissioned or whatever the proper phrase is, and the water comes back down through the Eel and perhaps fisheries restoration occurs.
Yeah. Well, you know, the last time I was here, Brian, I talked about the fact that we were going to be having an Eel Russian River Commission meeting in Eureka, and we did. And that was actually a very important meeting because for the first time, PG&E said publicly that they're not sure that they want to relicense the project. Now, that's a very important statement for them to make because the relicensing is due in 2022, which in government terms is lightning speed, right? So they're already in the process, but they haven't committed yet to relicensing the power component of the Potter Valley project. Where does that leave us? Well, they gave us some scenarios of what they might do. They might just go forward with the relicensing, but they might not. They might do some kind of a bilateral negotiation with another entity. They might do that. They
be
might
like the Wine Growers Association or Sonoma County, Sonoma Water?
Or this is the thing, and I'll come back to that in a second, a regional entity. So you have that, then you've got the possibility that they could auction it off to the first to anybody who wants to buy that power project, which...
Now, that certainly isn't in the spirit of the initial justification for this thing.
No, definitely.
Hydropower driven by water, period, thank you very much.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like they can auction off
they can.
The facility. How come?
I don't know, but that's a federal law, and so they might want to auction it off. If they don't do any of those and say they're just basically throwing their hands up and they're not interested, then the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission can auction it off, and that's just under a short period of time.
So there's no guarantee if PG&E walks that we get the water back?
No. So, but that's a limited time frame. Now, the other idea is, and this is why I think PG&E is finally feeling like they got to let us know. In, they said that they will give us an idea. They will tell us what decision they've come to within a quote couple of months. Which, when I asked them, is that 2 months from now? They said, well, we were being more general, so it could be three, I don't know. But the bottom line is they will be making their decision pretty quickly. So the big question is, can there be a regional approach? Can there be a regional entity that would manage this either as a resource distribution setup or a power generating things. So is there anyone in the region? There are four counties involved in the Little Russian River Commission, Lake, Sonoma, Mendocino, and Humboldt County. Anyone in the region who wants that power? PG&E obviously thinks it's just a blip in their bigger scheme of things. Or does it just want to be become a resource, a water resource, which generally is what it is in the first place. It's just a regional water
distribution. Yeah, it's inefficient. I've been told that it is.
Yeah.
You know, hydro is kind of wink, wink.
Exactly.
You know, it's not that mm-hmm. at all, but it's a source of the water for the Russian River.
Exactly.
And for the wine guys.
Yeah. And which, so now, over time, you know, I mean, this is a decision that was made over 100 years ago by the supervisors at the time. We've got to deal with it now. Okay, so at our meeting the other day, we looked at the structure of the Joint Powers Authority, which is the Eel Russian River, and it does allow for overseeing a regional water distribution system. So, at this point, we've given ourselves a task, an ad hoc committee, which is myself and James Gore, who's supervisor from Sonoma County, to look at broadening the Eel Russian River Commission from those four counties, maybe including local entities such as Fortuna and Rio Del, or Services District, a Community Services District, or even the tribes, whoever might have an interest in this regional water thing. Will we look at decommissioning? So there might be a regional entity that would take over the running of it, but I don't think that anybody's got money. We are not empowered as an authority to raise taxes or anything. So how would that look? Would we work with PG&E to fund the maintenance of the dams or the decommissioning, or how it would go? So that will all have to be worked out, and we certainly don't have all the answers right now.
The physical site.
Mm-hmm. There's several sites.
Of the Potter Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Are those in Mendocino?
Okay, so, mainly Mendocino, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So you've got the...
But it is Eel River watershed.
That's right.
So
Eel Russian... Well, it's all the eel going into the Russian.
Right.
And so you've got the Van Arsdale Dam, you've got Scott Dam, Van Arsdale Dam, you've got the Lake Pillsbury, Lake Mendocino, you've got the Potter Valley Water District, which is all those vineyards up there in Potter Valley, and then, of course, you've got the Sonoma County Water District, which would be the waters that are going into the Russian and then going further south.
With the water contracts that Humboldt Municipal Water had.
Mm-hmm.
With the pulp mills.
Yes.
And a lot of the research that they have done, I would think that there's a pretty good idea what water is worth.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that there has been zero compensation to Humboldt County.
Zero.
Benefit, whatever you want to call it, while all of the others, you indicated, all are receiving direct
mm-hmm.
financial or resource from this. Is there any recognition that Humboldt County's been left out in the cold on this thing, and that even if things stay as they are, something's going to change?
I'll tell you what, I don't know if they recognize it. They might just kind of, yes, give a tip of the hat to the fact that, yes, this is eel water we're talking about, and yes, we understand that it was taken out of the Eel River. My statement when we were talking about our various interests representing our counties was that for as long as I have known or been aware of this, I have known that the vast majority of Humboldt County recognizes that that's our water, and they know that. So
and zero coming.
And zero coming in. So I think that the bottom line, you've got two levels of interest in Humboldt County, or maybe three. No, more. Well, bottom line, you said the value of the water. Not only is there nothing coming back to Humboldt County, but the water is not, there's nobody's paying for the water, and there's a lot going out there. So that's one. Secondly, you've got fisheries. That's a really big part of this whole issue. There were spawning grounds up above Van Arsdale, and you know, so people who are interested in fisheries are definitely interested in taking down the dams. And so
a lot of different angles.
And then you've got towns like Fortuna and Rio Del, who are impacted by the flows in the Eel, and take that all the way out to the mouth of the river at the ocean.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and Fly Humboldt remind you that flying local is buying local and supports local jobs and investment. Fly Humboldt is a community-based coalition of businesses, organizations, and citizens dedicated to getting more flights to more destinations. We know that reliable and affordable air service is a critical part of a healthy community. For more information, visit flyhumboldt.org or find us on Facebook.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle. So the residual of this discussion with the Eel River, Eel Russian River, Potter Valley, blah, 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 is things are starting to be talked about now?
Oh, yes. And we need to. We need to up the discussion. When the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission had hearings about this relicensing project, they didn't have any in Humboldt County, which we requested and which even Congressman Huffman requested, but they declined. So I see the Eel Russian River Commission as a way to get in, you know, get our voices heard. But we are heard now. We will be part of the process. And I'm very anxious to know where PG&E will fall on this. Once we get that, you know, a little bit more nailed down, and we requested that they contact us immediately when they've made their decision, then we'll look at how to move forward. This is a really big deal, Brian, because bottom line, a lot of water involved, a lot of ground, a lot of terrain, and there should be a lot of interest. So I hope that in the future, as we go forward, we get more involved in this.
Well, we are really in the catbird seat.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that we get, whether it's water or compensation, we're ahead of the game.
We are definitely better off than we were.
The economic concerns down south that are benefiting from it, I would think, could recognize what they have at risk.
Yes, I think they do.
Just even a little fine-tuning, a little something, could really help out, I think, those impacted economies downstream that are pretty much right now high and dry.
Right, and we do recognize that, entire industries, communities have grown up to that time, and they need that water, too.
It'll be fun. Thanks for coming by. See everybody tomorrow.